assessing the stock market and the economy now through the rest of the year. That's coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. The U.S. stock market had a strong start to the summer after the initial shock of the Brexit vote wore off, but lately the markets appear to have been in pause mode. What's next for stocks? What's next for the economy, which is still crawling along at about a 1% growth rate? What should investors do? Joining us is David Swank, Principal and Portfolio Manager at Hood River Capital Management, based in Portland, Oregon. David, the market had about a three-week period late June, first half of July, where the Dow and S&P rose to record territory. Lately, it's kind of muddled along. Why do you think this has happened, and what do you see ahead for stocks?
The bounce post-Brexit, I think, was mainly due to folks realizing that for the domestic economy, the Brexit shouldn't really have much of an impact. For exporting companies, it may weigh on them a little bit, but really, at the end of the day, it's not going to do too much to the domestic economy. So once it had recovered from the Brexit malaise, what we've had to come to grips with is that the domestic economy on its own is really only just trudging along. It's not in any great shape. If you look at the GDP numbers that came out last week, it shows that the first half GDP was up only about 1%. And at the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund, we're really bottom-up stock pickers, so we're not macroeconomists, but we do talk to a lot of CEOs and CFOs and other folks in industry. And what we're hearing is basically consistent with that, that the economy's okay, but it's not great. And some companies are doing well, but it's because of company-specific issues and not just that the economy is ripping.
There's a lack of business investment. That's really had an effect on the economy, hasn't it?
It has. That's really the weak part. The consumer is actually doing okay. And interestingly, in the past quarter, as we've been talking to companies, we've started to get a glimpse of perhaps a tightening labor market. So over the past year, there have certainly been areas of strength. For example, in certain areas of technology hiring and in healthcare, it's been a tightening labor market. But now we're starting to see that seep a little bit into some other less glamorous areas of the economy. So that could be good for the consumer, but could even potentially exacerbate the business investment problem.
You run the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. I noticed the NASDAQ market has been strong. NASDAQ includes a lot of small and mid-cap stocks. What sectors do you like, David? Healthcare, medical device companies? Go into that.
Small and mid-cap stocks have been stronger, in part because people are less worried about Brexit issues for them, simply because they're less exposed to exporting to international markets. The sector that I'm most excited about within small cap is the healthcare sector. I'm less interested in biotech right now, where I feel like valuations are a bit on the high side still, despite the sector being down about 20% year to date. But rather, what I like are companies with good company-specific fundamentals going on. So maybe they have a new product that's coming out that should be well-received, or it could be companies that are selling directly to consumers that are benefiting from strength in the consumer.
Are these medical device companies, you know, speaking of companies that come out with a new product and whose stock is relatively a low valuation that has room for growth?
There are some medical device companies, for instance, companies like NuVasive or Cynosure, which has a laser for reducing excess abdominal fat that's being well received. It might be a company like VCA Incorporated, which runs veterinary hospitals, that's seeing strength in consumer spending.
Have you been talking to CEOs of healthcare-oriented companies, and they're in general optimistic about their business and, you know, the economy going forward? What's that like?
Sure. Well, I think that healthcare right now is a fairly stable area, so you really have to pick your spots to find things that are good, but it's not very exposed to the economy. So if we see wiggles there, it should be relatively insulated. As I look out into the future, though, I think that we could potentially, over the next few years, see some reimbursement pressure coming out of Washington on some providers and facilities within the healthcare space. Since 2008, a lot of Washington's focus as far as healthcare goes has been on getting the Affordable Care Act passed and then implemented. And now that we're a decent ways into the implementation of that, I wouldn't be surprised to see attention turn back to getting costs more in line.
So you think costs still need to be reined in?
Absolutely. What we're seeing is that the Affordable Care Act really hasn't made healthcare much more affordable. And we're talking about more than a fifth of the economy that's growing at considerably higher than GDP growth rates, with much of that being paid by the federal government and state governments. And it's just not sustainable in the long term. So it has to change.
Do you think the election is going to have any effect on this? I mean, depending, of course, who wins the race, do you think it's going to have a large effect on, the businesses of some of the companies that we've talked about?
Sure. Well, one issue that from time to time has cropped up as a hot issue is drug prices. And certainly it's an issue that Hillary Clinton has been vocal about. She sent out a tweet about a year ago about drug prices that sent the biotech industry into a sharp tailspin. So folks are concerned about what she may try to do if she's elected. But what folks may be missing is that Donald Trump also may not necessarily be a friend to high drug prices.
Yeah.
He's a populist, and this is a populist issue. And if there's one thing that Trump likes to see himself as, it's as a deal maker. And I wouldn't be surprised if he looked at what the U.S. is doing with drug prices and says, that's not a good deal.
It strikes me that there's sort of a balance. Obviously, the healthcare industry is concerned about prices, and also the consumer is concerned about prices not going too high.
I think that the profits are certainly attractive right now for pharmaceutical companies. As far as the consumer goes, we've seen inflation continuing at a fairly subdued level. Since the financial crisis, it's been running at about positive 0.5% to positive 2.5% on the core CPI, so excluding the more volatile food and energy sectors. In the past few months, it has ticked back up towards the high end of that range. And it's conceivable that if the first inklings I've seen of some wage pressure that I mentioned earlier should get traction, that we could see that climb up. And inflation has not been a worry for the market in quite some time. But if we pierce that 2.5 or even 3% level, and it looks like inflation is still headed up, then that could potentially be a new worry for the market.
What about the stock market overall? We haven't touched upon that yet. Where do you see stocks headed and the market headed for, say, the balance of the year?
Well, as I look at the overall investing environment, to me, the fixed income world looks like it doesn't have a great risk reward right now. A lot of the sovereign debt that's out there is trading at negative or near zero yields. And it's just hard to see how that has a good long-term outcome. As I look at domestic stocks, I think they look a little bit more reasonable. I would say that domestic stocks are more defensible in terms of valuation. Right now, small-cap growth stocks in particular are trading at a discount to their average valuation over that time frame, and they're only a slight premium to the S&P. Their small-cap growth is trading at about a 17 and change forward multiple. And to me, looking at that and seeing that you get about twice as much revenue growth in the small cap growth index as you do in the S&P, that looks like a relatively interesting setup.
David Swank, Principal Portfolio Manager at Hood River Capital Management, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.